obviously a lot about what's going on with the Browns. You got four quarterbacks. You got all these things. So what podcast is this from, Dan? Because the story is like, whoa, can't believe you just said that. Eric Dickerson was talking about Shador. And, Dan, where is this from again? Is it the Eric Dickerson podcast?
This is from Rogan and Rondi, which is it is on Rogan and Rodney, which is on AM 570 LA Sports, is where this is. Eric Dickerson was a guest on their show.
Okay,
had this to say,
and I'll tell you this much here: what I heard from someone that's in the NFL that the NFL told other, don't draft him, do not draft him. We're gonna make an example out of him. And this came from a very good source. And he said that, I won't say who, somebody called the Cleveland Browns and said, don't do that.
Draft really?
Him. Yep, draft him. Don't do that. Because they weren't going to draft him either. They weren't going to draft him. Mm-mm. They were forced into drafting him because somebody made a call to them. Said, and I say, when I say this is a NFL side source for sure.
Okay. Wow. Wow. So let me just make sure I got this right. Let's make sure we all heard the right thing here, okay? Eric Dickerson on this podcast, former, NFL great, saying that he talked to one person from within the NFL, his source, and his source said that the NFL was telling teams don't draft Shador, right? Am I in the right? Mm-hmm. Right? And that the Browns were about to pick someone else in the fifth round. And someone from the NFL called them and said, no, don't do that. You need to take Shador. Did I get that right? Is that right, Dan? Did I hear right? Did I hear the same thing right?
Do you want to play it again?
Yeah, play it again, because right. I don't want to be wrong.
One more time.
Yeah, sorry.
And I'll tell you this much here, what I heard from someone that's in the NFL, that the NFL told other, don't draft him. Do not draft him. We're gonna make an example out of him. And this came from a very good source. And he said that, I won't say who, somebody called the Cleveland Browns and said, don't do that. Draft
really?
Him. Yep, draft him. Don't do that. Because they weren't going to draft him either. They weren't going to draft him. Mm-mm. They were forced into drafting him because somebody made a call to them. Said, and I say, when I say this is a NFL side source for sure.
Audio courtesy of AM 570 LA Sports.
So he's saying somebody called the Browns and said, don't do that.
They were going to do something else.
Draft him?
They said at that point, draft him.
But then he's saying that the NFL told everybody not to draft him.
Yeah, I don't. Dan, I want to make sure we're all kind of clear on.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like something inside of that whole conversation changed somewhere in between.
Okay, so what would be the reason the NFL would tell teams not to draft a guy that was forecast to go as early as the number two pick overall? What's the agenda here? Can you get deeper in this conspiracy for me?
Unless that he had irritated so many teams.
With his pre-draft.
Yeah, with the way he was handling interviews or not wanting to.
Agent.
Yeah.
I can't see that. I mean, for the most part, I think Deion is embraced by the NFL, right? I mean, he's been around the game for as long as we can remember, right? He's a Hall of Fame player, mm-hmm. arguably one of the best defensive backs to ever play the game, right? I don't think there's any agenda against him unless I'm missing something.
Unless they didn't like... I'm speculating. I mean, would the league have not liked the fact that they might have a player who could be more powerful than... I can't believe I'm saying this. It would be more powerful from a marketing perspective than they could...
No, I mean...
Control? I don't know. I
mean, you would want him to be part of the jerseys that are being sold and all that.
Yeah, I don't understand. And by the way...
Cogging the machine.
Yeah, and the higher he's drafted, you would think the more jerseys would be sold. What Keith gave us some... Like, we had hundreds of thousands of hits yesterday on an interview that we did talking about Shador yesterday.
The Shador Sanders press conference.
Oh, okay. Just the press conference alone.
Yeah, had like six digits of hits. I mean, we're talking 100,000, 200,000 hits on this, just an inter on him doing a press conference.
Let me say this. I like the way the kid has handled himself.
I think I thought he was awesome. I thought he was awesome yesterday. I think he says what he thinks, which is refreshing. He tells you what he knows. And if he doesn't know something, I don't think he walks down that road.
No, and I think there's a humility about him.
Yeah.
I've seen him out there working before and after practice. Like, he's working on his craft, right? I know he's digging into the playbook. He's trying to get better. He's becoming a pro. He's a likable kid. I mean, he gave away free tickets to the game tomorrow. Was at the Avon late or the Avon St. Ignatius game last night?
Oh man, you almost got
big. I know
that might, he almost said Avon instead of Avon. That you want to get people.
We had him.
Okay, good.
We don't hang people out to dry.
Good looking out, boys. And again, you know, considering all of the circus isn't the right word, kind of the show that's around Shador. And listen. Okay. He's also a good hype man. He's a good promo man.
Right.
He knows how to sell him and his product and his brand, and props to him.
I want to see him at some point. I went off on this yesterday. Like, can he be a rookie for a minute? Can we just let him be a rookie?
Andy, you're going to see him at some point.
It's coming.
It's coming. It'll happen.
I don't think Joe's going to be able to go all 17 games. And that's not because his last name is Flacco. That's because he plays in the NFL. And every team that's going to play 17 games needs to be ready to have another quarterback to go at any given snap.
Especially here.
That's right. I mean, the jersey, it's up to 40
now, God.
Right?
So I can't even imagine what that looks like.
I mean,
like
we could be as high as 44 by the end of the season. We got to run a
figure.
The rent space on other people's t-shirts.
I get the sense that Eric was trying to get page views yesterday or whatever you want to call it with this comment. And I've been looking around. It doesn't seem like it's getting much traction. Maybe we're giving it more attention than it deserves right now. I don't know. If you're going to make claims like that,
harsh claim.
Yeah, I'd say.
I'm sure someone will probably ask.
Somebody on Park Avenue.
Someone will ask Kevin, don't you think? Someone's going to ask Kevin, hey, there's a report out there saying that you were forced to take him.
And you know how Kevin's going to answer that. Or not answer that, I should say.
We should let him answer it here.
Yeah.
Coach, are you back there?
Yeah. We're real excited about what Shador Sanders can bring to the table when we get him inside of our quarterback room and get him on the whiteboard and really see how he's able to interact not only with our coaches, but then turn around and the teammates and take what he has put up on the whiteboard and be able to execute that out on the grass.
So were the Browns told to take him, Coach?
Andy, a lot of conversations are had by a lot of people on a lot of places, and I'm only coaching the 53 or so guys on this roster at any given time, Andy. I can only control what's inside of those four walls, inside of our locker room.
Thank you, Coach. Okay, do we get the answer?
Good, yeah, we're good to go.
I think you did well. If this story is true, it's a gigantic, you know, can
of
worms.
Which is why, like I said, it's not getting any traction anywhere, so I don't think there's anything to it.
At what point do you believe a story, then? From a guy that reports the truth... I'm interested to hear your perspective on that.
Put a name on it, Eric. Who'd you talk to?
Yeah.
Let's go. Like, I'd call his bluff on it. You know?
John's in Gates Mills. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, doing great. Longtime listener. Love the show.
Thank you.
Listen, odd thing, you know, attorney living in Gates Mills. I know that's weird.
Weird.
I listen to a lot of mediation, a lot of arbitration and stuff like that, so I know how language goes down, and it's just my interpretation that what Dickerson was saying was that the NFL was saying out his source that no one should draft Sanders, and then if you listen to it again, my interpretation on it is that someone else called the Browns, could have been the same source that Dickerson said, but someone else called the Browns and told them not to do that, to go ahead and to draft him. That's my interpretation. Love the show, guys. Hope this helps out.
Yeah, the wordage got a little bit mixed up in
there. Well, he made it sound like the Browns were forced by the league to take him. I just can't see. I mean, if they're saying to everyone else, don't take him. Okay, Browns, you have to take him. I mean, like, why? Like, it's just confusing. It's confusing the way he said it.
Well, and this has been a situation unlike anything we've ever seen before, right? Where a guy who was projected to be taken as high as number two falls to the third day. Right?
We've never seen that before.
Oh my God, no!
I mean, I remember watching Brady Quinn sweat. Right? We've seen NBA guys sweat into the second round.
Sometimes. Johnny sweated.
Johnny sweated. Yeah.
It happens.
Aaron Rodgers is the one I'll never.
Yeah, forget.
He dropped. Yeah, you're exactly right. But to the third day, and then not only that, a guy with as high a profile as anybody in the draft. Right?
I mean, right.
Beyond that, so hence we've had all these conspiracy theories.
I'm going to take another phone call. I'm still like, If Dickerson said what is true, it'd be.
Let's get him on the line.
Yeah, where is he? Let's go, Mark in Cleveland. Hi, Mark.
Fellas, man, this is the thing. I think what Eric Dickerson's saying is garbage, man. Now, the first part, the collusion part, like don't drive them. Well, we know that could be true. Mm-hmm. Off of Kaepernick, you know, you got Brandon Whedon backing up Deshaun Watson.
That's fair.
When you got this guy out here, but then again, and then both of you guys, Andy, you've been standing on this Joe Flacco hill forever, man.
They drafted anybody, I was good with it. I'm still good with it, but I want them to develop a quarterback that we can have here for a while. I just think Joe could, if they need him to, I think Joe could be here for 2 years. I don't know if anybody wants to hear that or not, but. If they win, if they don't win, it's going to go sideways, and then we're going to get the opportunity to either see Pickett, Gabriel, or Sanders the way this thing plays out. That's all.
Well, see, like I was saying yesterday, Andy, the guy hasn't played more than 8 games in over 7 years. I mean,
I hear you
got
you, Mark.
A 3-2 touchdown and interception
I hear you, Mark,
rate,
but
Andy?
If I'm an NFL head coach, okay, and what you say, you know, it matters to me because we're talking about it on the air, but let's be honest, if a coach starts listening to you and me, he's going to be sitting with you and me. And if I'm a 3-win coach from a year ago, I need to win. And I got to tell you, when I look in that room, I trust Joe Flacco. I know I do because we worked together before. And if he's wrong, it's going to go sideways and we're going to see these guys. And guess what? Worst case scenario, they lose and now they've got to draft a quarterback of the future next year.
And see, that's my point, Andy. Now you go in here and next year with two guys you don't know nothing about, and then you draft in a rookie. Now we got these three inexperienced quarterbacks on our team. That's why we need to see what these guys got. So we don't want next year to be what we have. I mean, even worse quarterback room than this one.
Okay, Mark, let me throw this at you. What if the entire coaching staff is sitting out there going, man, neither one of these guys is ready? Do we trump that? No, we don't. You don't.
No,
I don't.
No, you
don't. So... it's just the nature of the game. It's the nature of sports. Like, nothing's fair. And it's not. What's crazy is you see this at the pro level, and we can all sit here and talk about it on mega airwaves and talk about it all across the country and all that stuff. But it happens everywhere. It happens in college. It happens in high school. It happens in CYO. I mean, it's just sometimes coaches don't think quarterbacks are ready to go. And that's where we are. Right?
Yeah. I thought he
was. When's the last time you saw a CYO kid get benched, though? It's been
last
a while.
Time. Yeah, it's been
last time.
I thought Mark made some good points, though. But as we've talked about a million times here, even just this morning, they're playing it slow, and I think that's the right thing to do with both of these kids. They're not quite ready. And I will say this: I do know that they're very intrigued by Kenny Pickett, the mobility that he has, how differently the play calling could look with him out there as opposed to Flacco. And so, you know, if he gets healthy, maybe he gets a shot, you know, depending on how Joe plays coming out of the gate. But they certainly, and Andy, what plays into this as well is those first six games are
the sixth
rough.
Game is the one that scares me the most because you're coming back from London and you're going over to Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that the way it lines
yeah,
up?
Yeah, the last, that sixth game is Pittsburgh after London. It's yeah. like, oh.
Yeah, and I think, they view Dylan Gabriel right now as potentially a guy that could serve as their backup, if not this year, then next year. And we haven't even talked about the fact that they've got two first-round draft picks next year. Have they already locked into the possibility of taking a quarterback? I don't know that. But it's
there's plenty of them coming out next
but
year.
But it's certainly on the table, isn't it?
It does sound like it's a better year for quarterbacks next year. But again, it's early. We haven't seen one college football down, which starts tomorrow, right? We're week zero, my friend.
Let's go.
Week zero. So we'll get ready for some college football. All right. Listen, if you're hanging on the line, we're going to come back to this in a little bit. When we come back, we're going to bring in Richard Deitch from The Athletic. And there's just some TV stuff going on and, you know, contracts and where we're going to be able to. Where are you going to be able to watch the Guardians? Where are you going to be able to watch the Cavs? There's a lot of things going on. We do know the Cavs are locked back into FanDuel for another year. But, you know, where is this thing going? Where are they going with television? We already know that the NFL's, you know, had their explosion. Right. And so where are we going with the rest of this, especially on the heels of the news with Major League Baseball and ESPN and MLB.TV coming up. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to get back into the Browns here in a moment. Also want to talk about the Guardians, and I want to sneak a little high school in. Baskin and Phelps, Tom Withers is in today.